A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. But no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Okay. I suppose I had two envelopes, and if I was doing this as a children's homily, I would have two envelopes. But suppose I had two envelopes, and in one envelope I say, in this envelope is a winning lottery ticket worth $50 million. And in the other envelope is the secret to being happy and living forever. Which would you choose? Now, of course, I know that if this were real, there'd be that little voice inside your head saying, "Take the money, take the money." You don't know, you don't know about this. There's a living, being happy, living forever. That's not real. That can't be real. Take the money, take the money. And even though you'll die rich. I mean, what else would you want? Take the money, right? We hear those worldly voices in our heads all the time. But the truth is, what people really want out of life is to be happy and live forever. Now, you ask people, a lot of people say, "Well, I want to be rich." And of course, a lot of people think, yeah, they really want to be rich, but that's not true. They don't want to be rich. They just think that being rich will help them be happy, right? Of course, a lot of people want to be rock stars. I know a lot of young people want to be rock stars, and they work so hard at becoming a rock star because they want to be rich, they want to be famous, they want to have all the girls or all the fame. They want it all, right? They think they'll have it all. They could just be a rock star. But they don't really want to be a rock star. They really want to be happy. They want to have some peace in their life. They want to have some security. They want to have a sense of love in their life. What people really want in life is that love and joy and peace that gives them that sense of fulfillment, purpose, satisfaction. And that only comes from one place, and that is the Holy Spirit. What people really want out of life is the Holy Spirit. But we spend so much of our life going a different direction because that little voice in our head is always saying, "Go for the world, go for the world, own the world, be, you know, get everything you can get in the world." I knew a man had a bumper sticker on his car that said, "The one who dies with the most toys wins." But the reality is, the one who dies with the most toys is dead and don't have any toys anymore. What we are seeking in this life really is that love, that joy, that peace that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is so simple, it's so pure, it is so true. And in both the passage from the book of Acts that we had today and from the Gospel, Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit and life. Do you catch that little phrase that St. Peter said when he's speaking to the Sanhedrin? God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. You see, all we need to do to live in the Holy Spirit is to live a life of obedience. And in Jesus, he says something very interesting here. He said, "He who believes has life, but he who does not obey never sees life." Now, why didn't he say, why did he put belief and unbelief next to each other? But he said, on the one hand, he who believes has life, but on the other hand, he says, he who does not obey does not have life. And that is because in the biblical understanding, belief is obedience. Somehow, we've separated that. We somehow think that belief has to do with going to church, saying you believe, reciting the creed. We make it some kind of an intellectual exercise that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died, that he rose again from the dead, and we stand up and we say that, we come to church and we say that, that we have exercised belief. But that is not belief. You know, the devil has no problem with you believing that. He believes that. He knows that's true. The scripture says that the devils believe and they tremble with fear. Because when Jesus is talking about believing in him, he's not talking about agreeing with some facts about his life. He's talking about surrendering ourselves to him. And that's why he says, on the one hand, if you believe, you will have life. But if you refuse to obey, you will not see life. Because they're the same thing. Belief is obedience, and obedience is belief. Sometimes people talk to me and ask me a question about, what about people who are not Christians? When a non-Christian person dies, do they go to heaven or do they go to hell? Now, let me tell you that God has not shared with me a list of names, so I really don't know. But what the scripture does teach is that it is not a matter of going to church and reciting a creed. That's not what brings life into you, the life of God, the life of Christ into you. What brings the life of God and the life of Christ into you is obedience to Christ's commandments, his teachings, and his lifestyle. That if we submit to Christ to allow him to reproduce his life and teaching ministry into our lives, then we know life. And we know life in this world. And it just happens to continue on into the next. You know, when I was an evangelical, when I was a Methodist Baptist, it was all about accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior so that you can go to heaven. But that's really, I mean, that's a good thing, all right? Everybody should accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But this concept that we do this so we can go to heaven, no. We live in obedience and submission to Christ and his Holy Spirit so that we have life now. So we experience eternal life now. And when we die, it continues on. But if we are living in the Holy Spirit, we have life now. We know life. And one of the most blessed things that I love, and Jesus says that in this gospel here, God gives his Holy Spirit, in this translation, without ration. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't give a little bit of the Spirit to this person, maybe a little more to that person. No. When we give our lives in submission to Christ, he pours his Holy Spirit into us limitlessly. And we receive, or effectively receive, as much of the Holy Spirit as we are willing to live in submission. It all has to do with what Peter says, God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Remember, there's a passage in Acts, a magician by the name of Simon. He thought this Holy Spirit thing was pretty cool. So he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit from St. Peter so he could use that as part of his magic act. He had some plans, what he wanted to do with the Holy Spirit. And of course, you know, Peter looks at him and says, "To hell with you and your money. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. There's only one way to receive the Holy Spirit, and that's to submit ourselves to God." And then he pours the Holy Spirit into us without limit, without ration. As much as we are willing to live in submission, he will continue to pour the Holy Spirit into our lives to reproduce the life of Christ within us. But there is in this world, and there is in the church, a tremendous religious spirit of deception that can let people believe they're doing pretty good when all they're doing is going through the motions, but they're still trying to live selfish lives. If we desire to live in Christ, if we want the life of Christ to reproduce in us, then his teachings must become alive in us. His teachings to love God with everything that we have, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to give ourselves to our neighbors, to feed the hungry, to visit the lonely, to care for the poor, to clothe the naked, to refrain from judgment of anyone, because we don't know their relationship with God. We just know that they're struggling, to refrain from unforgiveness, to always forgive and to be merciful. These are the teachings that Jesus gives us. These are the commandments he gives us, and that is what we submit to. And the one who lives in submission to the teachings and the commandments of Jesus, they live in life, whether they show up to church and recite the creed or not. And those who refuse to care for the poor, those who refuse to live a life without judgment, those who refuse to offer forgiveness and mercy to those who have wronged them, they do not live in life. No matter how often they show up at church and recite the creed. Because to believe in Jesus is to live what he teaches. He's God. And if we believe he's God, we do what he says. And if we refuse to do what he says, I don't care how many times you recite the creed, you don't believe in Jesus. Jesus transforms us into new creatures so that we can have life. And I'm not saying, okay, listen, I understand people are going, "Oh my goodness, I do this, I do that." I'm the most imperfect person here, okay? I'm not speaking that we're going to somehow reach a perfection in this life. Fortunately, Jesus doesn't expect us to reach a perfection. He doesn't ask us to be perfect. He asks us to take up our cross daily and follow him. It's a matter of direction, not perfection. It's that we submit ourselves to Jesus every day, we mess up every day, and the next day we get up and we start all over again. Because God gives the day spring, the dawn from on high, has sheds upon us every single day. Every day that sun comes up and gives us a new chance to follow Jesus. That's our life. Yes, we're human, and that little voice that tries to get us to live the life of the world rather than the life of the Spirit is always there. But if we live in the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, and we try our best to follow each day. I had a friend who's a priest. He was in southeastern Missouri. He had a parish. And it was near the Mississippi River. You know, the Mississippi runs right along the border of Missouri. And there's a fault line that runs right along the Mississippi River. It begins with an M. I forget the name of the fault line. And there have been some bad earthquakes there. The last serious earthquake in that area was in the 19th century. And But anyway, some guy claimed to be a prophet, and he prophesied that there was going to, on such and such a date, there was going to be this terrible earthquake. Everything's going to be destroyed. The entire economy of the region was going to be disrupted, and everything's going to be terrible. And so a lot of men in his church took this prophecy seriously, and so they began storing up stuff for when this earthquake was going to happen and everybody was going to find themselves in trouble. They didn't want to be left out. So they bought old refrigerators, right, that didn't work. They stuffed them full of rice and beans and cereal boxes. For some reason, they all wanted to have breakfast cereal. All the dry stuff that you put in a place like that to store, they stick them in the refrigerators. They bury them somewhere on their farm because it's a kind of an agricultural community. And so they had all these refrigerators. And of course, then you know what else they get. They get guns, they get bullets. And when my priest friend discovered what was going on in the church, he said, "This is not the life of Christ that you are planning on shooting your neighbor so he doesn't get your Captain Crunch. This is not the life of Christ." And you know what the church did? Well, they began storing food, but they began storing it at the church. So that if anything bad happened, they would have the ability to care for people. Live the life of Christ. Care for the hungry. That's what life of Christ is. And they bought this huge smoker, you know, the kind of thing that, you know, you see dragging out to these barbecue conventions and competitions. They bought this huge smoker so they could smoke lots of meat and they could feed lots of people. And they were able to, during Hurricane Katrina, they were able to go to the New Orleans area and care for the poor, feed people, care for people, because they had stored up all this stuff to take care of people, not to protect it so that nobody can get my stuff so I can have my stuff. It is the Holy Spirit's task to reproduce the life of Christ in us. And we always need to be careful that we're not listening to that voice that says, go for the money, take care of yourself. The Holy Spirit desires us to live as one family, caring for one another. It all comes down to submission. Will we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to reproduce the life of Christ in us? Or will we be satisfied to look like Christians on the outside, to show up at church, recite the creed, but on the inside refuse to allow that transformation of our hearts from that natural selfishness that comes with the natural man, and live in the Spirit of God so that we can know life. We can know love. We can know joy. We can know peace. Because that's what we really want. We may think we have some security because we've got a bunch of Captain Crunch in a refrigerator buried somewhere. But that's not security. Bishop Stanislaus, whose day we're remembering today, he knew his security was in God alone. And he stood up to a king who was treating his subjects ruthlessly and was martyred for it. But so what? So what? If you have eternal life in you, so what if they kill the body? He knew the Spirit of God. He lived the Spirit of God. His body was destroyed, but he lives forever. The Holy Spirit is here so that we can be happy, and live forever, that we can know the life of abundance that Christ has for us. Christ gave himself to us for our sake, because he knew what was required for us to know love, joy, and peace. And we only know that by the Holy Spirit, and we only have the Holy Spirit if we live in submission to him. So let's go to God now in prayer.